Hey Studio 108 community, thanks for clicking in and stopping by and checking us out. I'm here with Leah Rochelle. We are going to talk about tinctures. we are going to tell you how we got into tinctures. We're going to tell you what tinctures are. Leah actually makes them, so she's going to tell us about what that's about. And I don't know, if you've seen them in the front lobby, then maybe you've been curious too about like, what do they do and why should I or should I not try them? They look a little witchy.
They're like, it's starting to look like an old world apothecary up front.
Right?
Yeah.
Like we should have it Leah's apothecary.
That would be fun. Yeah, because there's all these like little mysterious glass bottles. And I think maybe people are kind of confused about how they use them and what they're for and
for
the
sure.
benefits of them are.
Do any of them have snake venom in them?
Definitely not.
So they're all really curated. Like Leah pays attention to kind of what her body needs support with and what my body needs support with and what other people are telling her. So I know the ones you have out there right now were born from like conversations and experiences mm-hmm. where people had a problem and you've gone to your, you know, to the plant world to say like, how can we support people?
Yeah. Well, I think it's like really interesting to look back at kind of the history of pharmaceuticals, because at one point, like medication were in the form of tinctures, right? Like you would go to your doctor and that's what they would hand you. And essentially like...
Oh, like Little House on the Prairie. You'd go to Doc Baker.
Was that his name?
Yeah.
Oh, I have no recollection. Yeah, but right, yeah. They would be tinctures. And like the basis of pharmacology is extracting plant compounds as medicine. So when we're talking about tinctures, what it essentially is an alcohol extract. And there's other types of extractions in the herbalism world. So there's like vinegar extractions. You can put plant material in vinegar to extract some of the constituents. There's water extractions. You think about something like a tea infusion. There are like a glycerite would be putting the plant material into glycerin, which is, it's like a alcohol sugar, but it's derived from, mostly it's derived from like plants with that have a high concentration of triglycerides. And it's like this sweet substance that will also extract some of the like healing properties of the plants. But really alcohol is the strongest. And depending on what plant, like certain constituents are only soluble into alcohol.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So when I come to your house and you have all those mason jars all over the place with masking tape, little labels, mm-hmm. you've got in there...
Plant matter. So depending on the plant, it might be the root. If you're like you would tincture like an echinacea root, elecampane root, burdock root, something like that.
Do you have to chop it up?
Yeah. Well, so that is like a whole, there's different ways, but yeah, you would chop it up into really small pieces, or you could grind it or blend it. You could do it from a powder. And that just increases like the surface area that the plant matter is going to be, in contact with the liquid, which we call the menstruum. And by the way, it's not just straight alcohol. Well, alcohol, like 100% pure alcohol is like ethanol. And that is like a really unstable substance. So you really can't get 100% straight alcohol. There's always a little bit of water in it.
Okay. And so you guys back up, because when she means alcohol, you're not talking about rubbing alcohol. You're not talking about vodka.
Well, yeah.
What
so
you
could make tinctures with vodka. Vodka's about like 50%. Alcohol to water. And yeah, you could make tinctures with that if the plant and the right, if that was the ratio of alcohol to water that you needed, if that was the proof level that you needed, vodka would be a great menstruum for certain plants.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you buy alcohol that is behind the counter and you have to sign for it.
So that's what I do. So I buy Everclear, which is like a super, super high proof alcohol. It's like 95% alcohol to 5% water. And then from there, I dilute it with reverse osmosis spring water to create whatever ratio is needed for whatever plant I'm tincturing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And I want to loop back because it's not always roots. Like when you did that lemon balm, you had like the green of a plant that you were chopping up to put in those.
That was right. So, well, and again, like depending on what you're trying to pull from. So like that lemon balm, is super high in like volatile oils, right? So, you know, that is one of the compounds that you're trying to extract via the alcohol, which is why when you have a lemon balm tincture, it actually smells kind of fragrant. Like those volatile oils or essential oils can be extracted through alcohol. So it just depends on the plant. And if we kind of like loop back around, when we think about the history of tincturing, what the tinctures or the alcohol extracts were for, were to pull these like medicinal constituents of the plant. And when we think about like medicinal constituents, what we're really referring to are like the poisons of the plant. They are the poisonous parts of the plant that would protect the plant against microbes, fungus, bacteria, like foreign invaders. Like you think about like resin on a tree that allows the bark to heal and offers like immunoprotective properties to the tree. That resin is secreted by alcohol, not by water. If you think about like alkaloids, which is a plant constituent, it's a secondary metabolite that a plant will produce. And alkaloids have their benefits can kind of like run the gamut, but they can have nervine benefits, they can have antispasmodic benefits, they can have like emmenagogue benefits, or that means to, you know, like help with menstruation. They can have like pain or analgesic benefits, right? Mm-hmm. So when we think about like those sorts of properties, it's really the alcohol that pulls that. The other constituent that is really readily pulled by alcohol are your tannins and a lot of like the bitter, acrid qualities of plants. So up in the front, I have a digestive bitter that has like mugwort in it and orange peel and spearmint and some burdock, and a lot of those bitter qualities are pulled through alcohol.
Actually a blend. So there's a bottle, we have two bottles left of this lemon balm. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing is that Leah tries to source things as close to the ground and as close to Independence, Ohio as possible. So the lemon balm that Well, you can't 100%. But
I'm starting a project where we'll be growing most of the herbs that we use at Oxbow Orchard, which is my friend Kyla and Beth's farm in Peninsula. So that's the plan. But
I'm just talking about the lemon balm.
The lemon balm
came from their farm.
Mm-hmm.
Like you cut it off down there and you chopped it up and you did that. And it's one item in there is lemon balm and it's called something sunshine, bottle of sunshine. Mm-hmm. So there's two bottles left and we'll have to wait until lemon balm is in season again to make more. So.
Right. So, well, that was one of the other benefits of tincturing your herbs in alcohol is that it has a really long shelf life.
Yeah.
Compared to vinegars or glycerides will not last as long.
Gotcha.
Now, there are certain plant constituents, I would say mostly like the really like nutritive, like here. So alcohol does not extract vitamins and minerals.
Hmm.
So when we're talking about like medicine, and even if we look at pharmacology, what makes a drug is that at a high enough dose, it is lethal. So when we take medicine, we are essentially taking a poison, but because it's a low enough dose, it is going to help our body, right? Like whether that it's like antiviral, right? We wouldn't want to take a huge amount of an antibacterial herb because that would kill all of the healthy bacteria. Like we don't want that. It's like the value is in the dose.
Okay.
Right. So if you're thinking about looking towards herbal medicine for, I don't know, like a virus or a bacterial infection or something like that, you would probably look to a tincture, because in a lot of those cases, those tinctures are going to have those bitter, or just whatever constituents, you know, whether it's the alkaloids or the tannins or the resin of the plant that is going to act as medicine in your body. If you're looking for vitamins and minerals and maybe a little bit more of like a nutritive, dense herbal remedy, you would look to a water extraction perhaps, and you would look to herbs that offer greater benefit from a water extraction. So
gotcha.
Like putting like nettles, right, and making a nettle infusion is going to be super nutrient dense. There's like a lot of times the polysaccharides, like the long chain sugars that come from some of our like roots in specific, are very nutritive dense. A lot of those are extracted better through water.
Okay. So here's what I'm getting from you. How they're extracted matters. Mm-hmm. And I'm also getting from you that I'm going to want to work with someone and not just willy-nilly. Like, I'm going to want a conversation to say, like, what would be a helpful dose? How much should I take? And I know you've got instructions to everything out there.
Yeah. Like, so, but it just depends. Yeah, it definitely depends. So, but like the thing with tinctures is you can start like a really small dose. So like, let's take the digestive bitters that are out front. Okay. That bitter taste is signaling to your body, danger, danger, poison coming. Because that bitter part of a plant in nature is what protects the plant.
Okay.
So when we take those digestive bitters in a small enough dose, it is telling our body, wake up a little bit, food's coming down. So it's going to help support the liver. It's going to help support your saliva and your digestive fluids. It's going to help support your gallbladder and, you know, putting out bile, like all of the things that help to break down the food. You don't need a ton of that bitter tincture out there. It's a pretty, you know, you can take drop doses. And then we have to remember, like, my herbal remedies are not going to be as potent as, you know, a pharmaceutical that has been created in a factory. They have means of, you know, isolating different compounds like beyond my scope. But we have to remember that potent doesn't necessarily mean better.
Yeah.
And that's like a whole other very like Western idea of like more, more, more is better. And it's really not.
And one of the things that I really appreciate, I actually learned from my acupuncturist in using, because about the same time we were making tinctures, she suggested I try this tincture that she has. And I was like, Leah, and we were like talking about it, but she said, don't just take it to take it. Don't take it every single day at the same time like you're taking, you know, four times a day, every 4 hours, you're setting your clock. Like, take it because you feel like, oh, I'm having, like, I'm connected to my experience. I'm connected to my body. I know how I feel. And I feel like this would help me. So, like, she talks more about, like, taking things mindfully, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think, though, like, that would depend, too. Like, if you're taking something as, like, a nervous system support, then maybe that would make sense. Like, when I'm feeling anxious, it has more of, like, a as-needed sort of basis versus if you have like a fungus or a bacterial infection or like a UTI, you might need something like a little bit more
consistent.
The other plant compounds that I just want to touch on like really quick would be mucilage. Just because I drink a lot of marshmallow tea. Okay. Marshmallow root is not something that you would want to extract through alcohol. That's something that actually extracts best in cold water, because what you're extracting is like the mucusy, slimy part of the plant, like comfrey, elecampane, slippery elm, which I don't really use a whole lot of because it's endangered, marshmallow root, flaxseed even has that like mucusy tendency to it. That's not something that you would want to take as a tincture. First of all, the alcohol wouldn't extract that mucilage, A. B, one of the benefits of a tincture is that when you put it you know, on your, in your mouth, it's like immediately absorbed in your bloodstream, which is really great if you're someone who has like a disrupted GI system somehow. But when I'm drinking my marshmallow tea with the idea that this tea is going to help me sort of like rehydrate, re-moisten, bring like more moisture and vitality back into my digestive system, I want to be drinking that because I want it to actually be flushing through my GI system.
Gotcha. So a lot of purposes for a lot of things. We've got the digestive bitters up there in the front. We've got the bottle of sunshine in the front. What else is up there that we can
So the women's hormone balancing blend is a blend of Vitex berry, black cohosh, and I'm totally blanking on what the other herb is in there. Maybe hawthorn.
Okay.
So
who would want that?
So, you can use it, like some of those herbs you could use if to regulate your menstruation, right? I take chasteberry pretty regularly to help me relieve like period cramps. If your period is late, that black cohosh can work as an emmenagogue to help induce bleeding. But again, it's, you know, if you're taking it as a tincture and you're just taking a little bit every day, it's a pretty low dose. But the black cohosh, those herbs specifically can also be really, really helpful to fight off menopausal symptoms. So hot flashes, like specifically hot flashes is what my mind is going to.
So it's not like this is just for this one thing. It's like there's a family of things. Do these
herbs are non-specific.
Yeah. And I'm getting the idea that they kind of help your body find its own balance. They're not quite an adaptogen, but maybe.
Well, there's a specific class of herbs that are adaptogenic. Like those herbs have very specific qualities. However, you're taking a low dose and it's in a blend, so you're getting other herbs with it that can kind of help balance out some of the intensity.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then there's a blood sugar.
So the blood sugar balancing blend is really cool. It has apple cider vinegar in it. So remember, vinegar has that acetic acid. And if you take acetic acid or you take vinegar before you eat, it actually helps your muscles kind of like slurp up extra glucose that's in your bloodstream, which is really kind of good at blunting that huge rise and fall in your blood glucose after you eat something that's like heavy in carbohydrates. It also has Jemima in it, which helps to decrease the amount of glucose that is absorbed by the intestinal wall. So again, can be really, they've used it to help folks with diabetes before. Again, like if you're wanting to take something for like that sort of very specific purpose, like you can take it more concentrated than what's in my tincture. But then there's also a bunch of digestive bitters in that as well. So it simultaneously will help to kind of kickstart digestion and level your blood sugar spike.
Is that something you would take before you eat?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that and the digestive bitters I would take before you eat. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And basically the digestive bitters are going to promote the activities of the digestive system, and the blood sugar is basically going to level out the spike.
Yeah, and it will also help stimulate digestion. But I would, like, I recommend folks just give it, like, give them a try, right? Like, there's what they're supposed to do. But again, we're working with plants. It's not, you know.
Well, and individual bodies.
And individual bodies, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now, the fire cider is not a tincture.
The fire cider is not a tincture. So the fire cider, so we have, it's actually an oxymel, but we start by making an acetum, which is infusing herbs and plants in vinegar, which is what we did. Much of the ingredients from the fire cider are local. Everything's organic. Most of it is local. The ghost peppers are local, the garlic, the horseradish. I think like everything in that is local. We added honey. So we have honey that's also harvested in the valley, and the combination of the honey and the vinegar makes it an oxymel. And I've been getting such great feedback from the firesider.
I've been getting crazy good
Everyone who takes it, yeah, is saying that it's just like, it's really helping them when they take it when they're sick.
Yeah.
So we've got more of that too. And that, that you can take that before you eat too, right? So if you're like, okay, like I want to, you know, take some vinegar before I eat, to help stabilize my blood sugar, you absolutely could do that. You could put it in water because it definitely has a very pungent, strong taste. You could.
And girls are sprinkling it on their salad.
I would like, yeah, you could make a salad. If you like the taste, you could make a salad dressing and do like equal parts that with olive oil or something. If you really like the taste that much. Yeah, you could take shots.
Do you not like the taste?
I don't know if I do like the taste, but I don't know if I would want it on my salad necessarily.
Gotcha.
Like, or not every salad.
You gave me some that was unsweetened and that was really rough.
The without the honey. Yeah, the honey definitely cuts it a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Kaylee took it in like within 2 hours the cold was gone. She was like,
that's so sweet.
Yeah. So
yeah. Do you have any other questions about tinctures?
No, I think that I would have questions once I go to pick up a bottle. Mm-hmm. So I really encourage you to ask Leah questions while you're here. Like catch her here and ask her like, what about this one or that one? And let her give you a little bit of feedback. And then of course, if you want a deeper conversation and some individual help with your own health profile, she's a functional medicine health coach and she can help you globally kind of navigate some of what's going on and maybe
with herbs and nutrition
and then be more specific, yeah. Help you be more specific about what you want to try.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah. It's really,
but there's really nothing to be afraid of.
No, I mean, like obviously you don't want to, I mean, you don't want to drink a tincture. Like it's very strong alcohol. Alcohol is not great for our liver, but in small doses,
yeah.
It actually has medicinal benefits. And alcohol first started to be distilled for medicine.
Yeah.
You know, it was only, you know, in the past like couple hundred years that it became really the issue that it is today.
Yeah.
Right. So in small doses, it has antiseptic qualities. It has antimicrobial qualities.
Yeah. And you're using maybe 5-6 drops, 8-10 drops.
Yeah, that being said, so, if someone has like a history of alcohol addiction and is completely sober, like, you know, that might be an individual where we're like, you know what, let's just stick you with glycerides.
Yeah, like a different solution.
Yeah, it won't be as strong, but it's like, you know, everyone's different. There is no one size fits all.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, thanks, Leah.
Thank you. I hope this was helpful.
I hope it was helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Leah's apothecary here at Studio
Live. Yeah, if you have any questions.
Thanks, you guys. Thanks for
coming. Bye.